On this edition of the Iowa Business Report,
it was a phenomenal production year despite the drought.
We are in the heart of farm planting season. What's the economic outlook for agriculture broadly and Iowa's producers in particular? A major expansion of a food company in Boone. And in our business profile, we'll learn about a 40-year-old Iowa company whose new owners are benefiting from a strong customer base and loyal workforce. This is the Iowa Business Report for the final weekend of April 2024.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com. Here is Jeff Stein.
One of the more popular components of the annual Hawkeye Farm Show each year is the workshop session conducted by Iowa State University economist Dr. Chad Hart. I talked with Dr. Hart at this year's event held in Cedar Falls in late February.
I think we've had a few years of surprises in a row now. And when you look back at 2023, I would say one of the surprises was that production was as strong as it was. Typically, when you have a drought spread and deepen, as we did across the state, we tend to see production shortfalls. We did on the individual level, but we added it together at the state level, and it was a phenomenal production year despite the drought. Given that, though, I would say our prices actually held up better than I expected as well, because we've had really good demand for our crops. It has weakened over the past couple of years, but it's still at a pretty good, strong level. And that's what's led to me sort of talking about, as we're getting into 2024, how ag is going through its own version of a soft landing. How normally when we follow up what has been an extremely strong market, where we've had corn over $6 a bushel, where we've had beans in the teens, typically we tend to follow that up with significant losses. Right now, when I look, we're starting to accumulate little losses, but we're not projecting big ones, that we seem to be coming in around break even. And to me, that's the soft landing for ag, because usually our prices are equal to our production cost.
From what I hear from all sources, it was surprisingly good. What can you attribute that to? Is it better methods? Is it better seed? And is the answer yes to all of this?
The answer is yes to all of it. Yeah. I mean, we overuse the term perfect storm, but it sort of was this idea that we do have better technology that's helping us produce in more challenging years, especially when it comes to drought. But we also, while we didn't receive as much rain as usual, arguably those rains came in a timely manner. We were able to get that moisture in the crop, was able to utilize it. And when you put that together with production practices on the farm that have been created over time to manage the risks that we face, all of that leads to this strengthening of the crop, even in times of stress.
Demand has not changed at all. Demand is very strong for Iowa products.
It does remain strong, and the idea is we continue to try to find new uses. Arguably, one of the big changes to ag, say, especially over the past 20, 30 years, has been this idea that we have become more of an energy market than ever before. The idea is, you know, you go back 50, 60 years ago, we were a food feed market. Now we're food feed and definitely energy. Ethanol was the first wave. Now we're looking for what's that next big wave coming down the line. And it seems to be this push towards renewable diesel on the oil seed side, with this idea of maybe taking ethanol instead of it being the final fuel, having that being an initial fuel to move us to things like sustainable jet fuel.
Those new uses, so again, it was food, feed, and fuel, and that's in ever-increasing amounts. Is there a point where we sort of either top off, either because you can only produce so much from a parcel of ground, or we've run out of derivative products?
Well, I'm sure there is that plateau out there somewhere.
You just can't see it from here.
But you can't. I mean, the idea is when we're looking on the production side, our yield side, we continue to see growth. In fact, you look over the past 100 years, and it's been about 2 bushels per acre growth per year. When we look at the soybean side, it's about 0.5 bushel per acre per year. So the idea is those continue to build up. And as we look at those world records that we see out there every once in a while, we'll see these stories of somebody produced a 633 bushel per acre corn crop. That shows that potential for growth is still out there. And on the demand side, I continue to find it one of these deals that we're continuing to look at the raw product that we have and continuing to look at it in new ways and try to figure out how do we tease that, tear it apart, and continue to gain value. And that process is sort of like the yield trend process. It's something that continues to build and grow. We continue to find new uses. We continue to find not only new uses, but uses that make sense in the marketplace today. And that's what really builds that demand over time.
What are some things that are not under Mother Nature's control that you're looking out for?
Well, the big things you mentioned, the idea is Mother Nature controls what we're seeing on the weather with the drought. And let's face it, there's a lot of variability there. But when it comes to, let's call it those man-made issues that we're looking at here, I'd say cost control is a big one as we're looking at our farmers. The idea is they've watched their cost rise up as well, and that's the challenge for them here in 2024. They've watched their prices rise and now fall. Now they're watching their costs that tend to sort of follow along prices, but they're always a year behind, and they tend to move more slowly. So those costs are still fairly high. Farmers are going to have to manage that as they deal with these lower, but I would still argue fairly decent prices. They're also dealing with, let's call it, fickle international demand. We have seen a dramatic pullback in international demand over the past 18 months. Some of that is rebounding, other parts of it are not. And one of the biggest challenges for our market right now, arguably, is our dealings with China.
What are some of the other bright spots from an international market standpoint?
The big ones I'm looking at on the soybean side would be we're seeing recovery in Europe, and we're seeing some recovery, let's call it, Southeast Asia minus China. So when you're looking at places like Indonesia, Malaysia, Vietnam, that's where we're seeing the growth there. When I'm looking at the corn market, a lot of it's Latin America. Mexico has been a really strong growth market for us, especially this year. They're normally our top export market. They definitely are this year, but they're almost becoming like China is on the soybean side. They're almost up to 50% of the export market. So incredible growth there. But behind them is a place like Colombia. We don't tend to think of Colombia as a really big market, especially for U.S. corn, but they're our third largest export market right now as it stands. And so we are seeing Latin and South America become not only a place for our export competition, but also export customers.
Iowa State University economist Dr. Chad Hart. We spoke in Cedar Falls at the Hawkeye Farm Show on Tuesday, February 27th. Still to come, a major investment in a new Iowa operation and making the best of a bad situation. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report.
You work hard to provide for your family. Make sure you maximize your family's financial security regarding your trust, estate, and asset management. This is John Jacobson. Protect your family's financial interests for generations. Learn more about Security National Bank's Trust and Asset Management Services. Go to snbconnect.com for more. I look forward to earning your trust.
Investment and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not a bank deposit, not bank guaranteed, may lose value, not insured by any federal government agency.
Welcome back to the Iowa Business Report. I'm Jeff Stein. Last week, you heard Debbie Durham of the Iowa Economic Development Authority mention a major business expansion that was about to be announced. We now have that information, and it involves the nation's leading manufacturer and largest brand of cottage cheese and sour cream, Daisy Brand LLC. Demand for the company's products created the need for an additional manufacturing facility, and Daisy has selected Boone as the site for its 750,000-square-foot facility. It's their first expansion into Iowa. Daisy is a fifth-generation family-owned company based in Texas, with plants also in Arizona and Ohio. Daisy will invest $626.5 million in the facility, creating 106 new jobs to start, with projections of 255 on the payroll if demand increases as anticipated. The IEDA board approved $7 million in direct financial assistance for the effort, as well as tax benefits. Officials note that a third of the nation's top food manufacturers are located in Iowa, with 26% of the state's manufacturing industry tied to food processing. Coming up, here's who you call for cleanup. You're listening to the Iowa Business Report. The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods Month this April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans, such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk, are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward. Welcome back to the Iowa Business Report. I'm Jeff Stein. A well-known Atkins, Iowa company has new ownership, but continued success thanks to its strong track record. For this week's business profile, we talked with Alex Kowalski, CEO of Westside Salvage.
Westside Salvage is an emergency response and disaster recovery salvage business. We work with the agribusiness community and all the suppliers that are part of that. So all the way from farm to elevator to processor to handle disasters that they have, or we can help mitigate the claim to the insurance company, minimize the cost, and recoup any salvage or grain that we can as part of that process.
And I don't mean to be flip about this, but I think, you know, we've all driven by the scene of an accident. A truck goes into the ditch, et cetera. We see a pile of grain and we all think, ooh, I wouldn't want to have to clean that up. You're the guys that clean that up.
Yeah, that's when our phone rings, Jeff. And it comes everything from a derailment to a truck wreck to an elevator fire to a structural bin collapse to water lines that break and damage grain, different types of grain that get mixed together. We run into that all the time. People put DDGs on top of soybeans and corn on top of oats. And so every sort of agribusiness grain accident that you can think of, from moisture to mixing to in the dirt to got rocks in it to you name it, that's when we get called. And, you know, as part of that process, the number one thing we're trying to do is mitigate the cost of the claim, right? And keep the grain out of the landfill. If we can find a productive use for it, it's animal feed, an into ethanol plant, whatever it may be, where it can be improved, dried, clean, screened to its highest source of value, that's where we really bring value to our customers.
So obviously I can understand the straight cleanup, just removing things from the scene.
Sure.
But when corn is mixed with beans or you've got different types all mixed together, how do you make that salvageable? I mean, what's the basic process? And I know it's different for different sort of situations.
Yeah, from 30,000 feet, Jeff, it's really a separation. So it's screening, right? So we have screens of different sizes, different makes, different models, some that can take gravel out of anything, some take beans from corn, fertilizer from dirt, you name it. But it's really a specialized set of equipment, pieces of equipment that we have, and really sets us apart in the industry. People can go with an end loader and pick up spilled anything, whatever it is, right? Whether it's grain or something else. But to make it salvageable, to bring it back to a productive use where it has merchantable value to our customers, the insurance company, whoever's responsible for the claim, we've got to be able to get that product separated, dried, cleaned. And so that really is the real value that we bring within our business. And we do it in any number of applications, but largely tied to agribusiness.
So if there is an accident of some sort, your phone rings, you folks show up, and you then, if you're able to salvage, that goes back to the customer to mitigate the loss with the insurance company, right? You don't get a piece of that action. You are paid for your time and trouble in responding and processing.
Correct, Jeff. It can go one of two routes. So on larger claims, and we have a couple right now, we've got a large fire in Southern Illinois that we've been working and a large bean fire in Western Iowa. And those, when the insurance company is, and these were big failures, right? Buildings were damaged and the grain is a small part of it. They hire us to not only clean it up, but then to run a process, right? So our job is to clean up and screen the grain to the highest merchantable value we can come up with, and then run a process of collecting bids, auction, and that can go all the way from cattle feeders to other uses, depending on what the commodity is. And the big, big, big ones, that's what we do. And smaller jobs, sometimes we'll actually get asked, hey, are you willing to buy whatever it is, the wet corn, the beans with gravel in them? And sometimes we can and sometimes we can't, right? If we can find, because we're in the business, we know a lot of the second and third hand uses for these commodities where we could actually capture some value back out of it. And in some cases, folks don't have the equipment to be able to do it. And so they just ask us in lieu of a bill, hey, would you take it? You can salvage it. You can do whatever you want and try and trade it. So we do it in both manners. The larger jobs, though, that are for large insurance companies, we're operating on their behalf to recoup as much value as we can to mitigate that claim.
Basically, once they call you, they want to be rid of the problem.
Correct.
You take care of the problem and pose an option or a set of possible solutions.
It's not only to be rid of the problem, but there's ways to work through these that you can actually retain value. And I'll give you this example of working in Western Iowa. It was a significant fire. It was over 300,000 bushels of soybeans. It's a big claim. I think this fire broke out at roughly 2 in the morning, 1:32 in the morning, and the location manager called us at 7:30 or 8 o'clock and said, stop. Are there any lives in danger? No. Are there any structures? Well, the two that were here collapsed. Okay. Can you prevent the fire department from putting foam on? This is a live fire, right? The fire departments, I think there's 5 or 6 apartments. Auntie, tell them not to put foam on it. If they can prevent, as long as nobody's life's in danger, we're not firefighters, right? There's no other structures. The minute you put chemicals, and you know, anybody would know this, right? You put chemicals on grain, it's all going to landfill, right? So there was 4 or 5 million of value of soybeans that were there that location managed through our guidance, initial response was able to the fire department. They didn't put any chemical on it. Then we were able to go, I'll put the fire out by digging it out with equipment, some water in spots. And now it's leading to a salvage recovery that's going to approach 7 figures in this deal, right? So you went from a $4 or $5 million loss potentially to potentially a $1 million right back upper gain based on the salvage commodity. So again, those are real dollars, right? And it's not just through the screening and cleaning the equipment, but the guidance in that initial response. So that's really, if you know, people ask, what's the value prop? We can do the things, we have the equipment, but thinking through the disaster from the moment it happens, the minute we get called, do this, don't do that. Hey, if this is an option, make sure this doesn't happen. That's where we can provide initial value. And then we go through the process of recouping and harvesting that value.
Really, your phone number needs to be part of crisis management plans for all manner of businesses because of what you just mentioned. If you can get the phone call early, you can help maximize the salvageable quality, minimize waste.
And dollars, right? Not only waste, right? Keep it out of the landfill, keep it productive, but in these larger agribusiness disasters, plant fires, grain elevator explosions, you name it, structural failures. We had 4-inch water line, you know, over top of a bunch of grain bins and, you know, the fire's present that broke during that cold stretch in January. Hey, do this, don't do that, mix these, don't mix those. So yeah, we're 24/7. We pick up the phone. We've got techs that are on the clock all the time to try to help in this emergency services disaster recovery. If nothing else, maybe we can't get equipment there right away, but we can help them think through how to minimize the claim, because then all these people are going to get insurance renewals 3, 6, 9 months down the road. And that claim, you know, so not only helping mitigate the claim, but their ongoing insurance costs or future insurance costs. And if you've talked to local co-ops or people throughout the state of Iowa and the Midwest, the insurance increases in premium is insane right now. It's driving some of these folks out of business. It's not the insurance company, it's the cost of the disaster. So in a small way, a very small way, we're playing a part in trying to help keep those costs down industry-wide. They look at mod rates and they look at what's going on when they price, you know, these different folks as far as part of the renewals.
Talk a bit about the history of the company. How long have you folks been around and what's the status and structure at present?
So the company was started very proudly in 1968 with a pickup truck and a shovel. Classic Midwest story, right? The Vogt family here in the Cedar Rapids area started the business. They were farmers and started helping folks through different disasters and salvaging grain. The company grew over that period of time and through some slow periods, they started trucking. So a much larger business was actually born out of Westside Salvage, which is Westside Transport. Many folks in the Cedar Rapids area know that large trucking company. You see their trucks and trailers all over the highway throughout the Midwest. I believe they've got 12 locations now. As Don Vogt, who the primary shareholder, was working toward retirement, they sold the salvage business, Westside Salvage and Midwest Growth Partners, my partner in the business. And Don still retains an ownership, as well as some of the folks in the previous management team. And so just a transition for Don, he hit 70. And so we're here. We bought the business back in December, and we're looking to grow it. As part of that process, we're still holding on to those roots of one pickup and one shovel. And now we've got, I think we're approaching 30 employees, and I couldn't even tell you, 30 or 40 different, you know, vacs, trucks, press vacs, semis, trailers, bobcats, skid steers, you name it, a whole list of equipment. But we're still here in Atkins, Iowa.
It's got to be fun to take on the challenge of ownership, have former employees stay on now as owners, and have the former owner be a part of it along with the investment group. I mean, that is truly a great way to preserve the best while establishing a foundation for the future.
Jeff, one of the fun things is because people ask me, well, why this business, right? Why did you and Midwest Growth buy this business? Loyal customers, they've been here since day one, many of them, large ADM, Cargill, you know, the big OEMs in the agribusiness space, as well as the local farmer and other folks that this business has helped along the way. So when you see that track record, you don't have to ask. 60% of our revenue last year was in Iowa, but it was also in, you know, almost 30 other states. So it's not just an Iowa business. The folks that are closest to us know us best. So it's how do we take the relationships we've built, figure out where their additional locations are, and then grow with them. The people that are here, we've got just an incredible team, and many business owners would tell you this, but this group in particular, you go through a sale transaction, privately held for 40 years, right? I mean, these people knew the Vogt family, knew the leadership team, and kids went to school together. They were at each other's weddings and funerals and everything that goes with that. And they've just been open arms welcoming to us. The support from MGP has been fantastic. When you have that inside a business, the culture, Jeff, and again, a lot of people talk about it, but you see it, you hear it when you walk through the door here. And that's a really, really special part. When customers hire us, and I hear this over and over and over, man, when your crew came on site, they were here, they were looking out for our best interest. Boy, they really worked well with our team. They wouldn't take no for an answer. So I'm very, very proud of everything that our team's doing.
Alex Kowalski is CEO of Westside Salvage in Atkins, online at westsidesalvage.com. We spoke via Zoom on Tuesday, April 23rd. We've previously profiled Midwest Growth Partners, one of the new owners. They are online at mgpfund.com. And that brings us to the close of this week's program. We're back again next week at this same time. In the meantime, you can listen to all or part of today's program by going to totallyiowa.com and clicking on the radio programs link. And we're also found on all the major podcast distributors, 19 now in all. Support for the Iowa Business Report comes from the Iowa Business Council, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization working to elevate Iowa's economy through leadership, research, and advocacy. Learn more and review the group's Iowa Competitive Dashboard by going to iowabusinesscouncil.org. We welcome your comments. Send them by email to radio@totallyiowa.com. I'm Jeff Stein. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a prosperous week.
The Iowa Business Report is a copyrighted production of Totally Iowa Media, which is solely responsible for its content. For more, click on the radio programs button at totallyiowa.com.